I decided to do this lesson after Charles gave his talk on a Wednesday night about worry. And I thought about it after his talk and thought I might study that a little more. What kinds of things do people worry about?
We worry about, there's a lot of different, I use family as kind of a broad. Mm-hmm. When our kids are young, we worry about them. When they're older, we worry about who they're going to marry and what kind of person they're going to marry and what kind of marriages they're going to have. We worry about our husbands. We worry about our in-laws. All different kinds of things in the family. Worry about our grandchildren.
Yeah, that's a pretty broad category of things. Yeah. It gives us plenty of time to worry about. What else?
Money is a biggie.
Money, yeah, I've got that on there.
Bills.
I don't worry about the way the church in general is going. Mm-hmm. I've known people for years and years. I go from way on back, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've been associated with so many good people. And then years and years later, you find that they go to church. Mm-hmm. And their children don't go. Mm-hmm. And that just not only hurts, it worries me. Mm-hmm.
The deterioration of the church.
Yeah, it just seems to be getting worse. And then the laws are trying to pass. Mm-hmm. Now, it's conducive to that, you know.
To people falling away, they certainly are.
Like, you know, abortion illegal, it's going to happen. I mean, legal, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, I'm afraid. I get letters all the time from, is it Baylor? Kay
Hutchison, yeah.
And other senators want me to help out. And I can't anymore.
Yeah.
And from the Veterans Association, you want to help, but I live it on my Social Security. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I hate to turn them down. It bothers me.
Yeah, well, we can't control everything, for sure. Justin.
There's also something else you could worry about. You also worry about your health. Mm-hmm. And how long you will live.
Right. Of course, there are things that come up, specific things with our health that can cause us to worry. But different people and what position they are in life, young, old, middle-aged, have different health issues to worry about. That's another one.
Now, with what Elizabeth was saying, I put the economy because we don't know what's coming along with everything Elizabeth was saying. It's just, you know, sometimes we worry about the taxes. I think we're probably going to pay more tax on gasoline and just things, the economy in general.
That's a big one right now. That's all you hear about on the news, is the economy.
I would love to pay tax. I wish I made enough money to pay tax.
Jobs, job security. So many people have lost their jobs. I put national security.
Okay.
And I used to, you know, I was worried about that. But once you have a little boy, it's a different worry. Mm-hmm. You think, oh no, when my son's 18, is he going to be sent off somewhere? And I didn't. I know they can send girls off too, but I didn't really worry about that till I had Evan. That was a new one. Well, I want to. Oh yes.
You can also worry about childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
About, like, I was born with a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where my valve wasn't working right, and a valve didn't close properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, mothers, when they're pregnant, would worry about that. Like Jennifer, expecting a new baby, I know that's a worry on her mind.
That's a very general category of things that are out of our control, and a lot of what y'all have mentioned falls into that. Mm-hmm. National security and economy, but also just things like car accidents and just everyday things that we just have little worries.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
exactly. Or your child gets older and starts to drive. I bet that's a whole new category of worry.
You know, you worry until they become a Christian, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing
I bet
how
so.
The peace that comes over you when they become a Christian. When they're, you know, 16, running around. You don't know what they're getting into. You
that's
try
true.
To have control and you listen to them, but it's just always this worry.
I also had we worry about our future on Earth. We don't worry about eternity.
Yeah, or we shouldn't.
But, you know, as you get older, you worry about, especially when you see your if you, your parent, what your parents are going through.
Mm-hmm.
You worry about what illnesses we're going to have and what we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, that is so funny. We worry about things that we can't even imagine what they're going to be yet.
Yeah.
Worry about the what ifs. Now, let's look at Matthew 6. Who's willing to read that? That's kind of long. 24 to 34. Justin, you want to read that for us? Matthew 6, 24 to 34.
Masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God as a mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they will neither sow nor reap nor gather it into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are not more valuable than they. Which of you all, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you of you, you little of no faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its trouble.
Okay. Question 2 says, discuss the qualities of worry described in this passage. This is just kind of the classic passage on worry, I think. And I took some of these verses and I just put one word, but you may have an entire dissertation on each. But I want to look at the qualities of worry in some of these verses. What about verse 32? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. What is a quality of worry seen in there? They're all physical things.
Yeah, and it's very small because if he had some on the other day, you got something to wear. Or it's not really worth it, especially if you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm. I put that everybody has the same words.
Yeah.
We're not alone.
They basically do. We're not alone in that.
I think it was David that said this, but I like it. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're saying we put God first. We can have
that's a good point. All of these worries are just plain unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it says your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like, you know, your kids can ask you, what about this and what about that? What are we going to do with this? Morgan will drive me crazy. What if in me? I don't want to tell her. I know. Okay? I know. And that's kind of what that verse was saying to me. He knows what you need. To worry about it is just plain unnecessary.
But he still wants us to ask.
Yes. He still wants to ask. Verse 26 is the one that says, look to the birds of the air. They neither sow nor they reap, nor gather into barns. yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Justin.
So there it says that when you put that, God will feed you, because it says that He feeds the birds of the air Himself, and it never says that we help Him at all.
Right. If He's going to feed just the birds of the air, it's kind of preposterous for us to sit here and worry about that.
Is that the word?
I put preposterous, yes. But that's my word. What'd you put?
I thought that was blank. I couldn't find anything.
Oh, okay.
I obviously missed the whole point here because...
Well, I was afraid that was going to happen.
I didn't come out with one word for it then.
Sandra told me that was going to happen. I just looked at that and thought, you know, if He's going to take care of a bird, you know, a little bitty bird, how ridiculous for me to worry about. You know, is He going to take care of me?
You know, when you first look at that, it's like saying you don't need to worry about any of this. God's going to take care of it. But He expects you to work towards it. Okay, I'm going to quit my job. God's going to give me clothes. God's going to give me food.
Right.
Yeah, you got to work.
I feel like that demonstrated a lack of understanding of your self-worth.
Because, yeah.
He takes care of all of His creatures. Doesn't mean that they don't die. Everyone dies. Has some illnesses, but it's a level of understanding that we're even above those creatures.
Right. Let me write that down.
I've heard a comparison said, worry, it's like rust. It can consume you.
That's very true. Well, what about this next group of verses? What was common to those three verses?
Do not.
Absolutely. It's prohibited. Whoops, now what am I going to do? Because I worry. And it says, do not do it. What about verse 27? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?
Not a thing. Can't do a thing.
You can't make it no better than what you've done, what God has created. So.
I put it's futile.
Futile?
Futile. Just a big waste of time.
I'm not one. I put that's giving yourself too much credit.
Verse 30 says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What's the quality of worry in there?
Do not worry about your clothing. Or don't worry.
The worry itself in that verse, what is the quality of worry?
With lack of faith.
Exactly, faithless. And that's kind of a biggie. That to me was the big verse. If we lack faith, you know, you sit around and think, well, I'm worried about this. Well, that's not that big of a deal. But if you're faithless, that is a big deal. Look at... why do I have that there? Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Matthew 8:26 says, this is when Jesus was sleeping in the boat. He said to them, why are you fearful, you of little faith? And He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Their faithlessness was because of fear. And I don't know that I wouldn't have been afraid in that situation too. But their faithlessness was from fear. Also over in Matthew 14... ...31, that's when Peter was walking on the water. and had doubt. And his doubt was also called faithlessness. And I don't think Jesus... Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you have little faith. Why do you doubt?" One more over in Matthew 16:8. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Oh, you have little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread?" What had been going on in that section? Does anybody know? It wasn't on the lesson. I just put them there.
Well, it's after the feeding.
Yeah. And they crossed over to the other side. And he started talking about, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Sadducees, Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were reasoning among themselves and said, "Was it because we have taken no bread?" How impressed is God with human reasoning? Not at all. How impressed are we supposed to be with human reasoning? Not at all. Well, he says that they've reasoned among themselves, and he's said the same thing, that they're basically faithless.
Because, you know, he said, you know, you don't remember me feeding the five, you know, taking the five loaves.
Right.
And, I mean, they forgot that quickly.
Yeah, that quickly. They just dismissed it. Well, I thought of those when I was reading that verse back in Matthew 6:30, when he tells them, "Oh, you have little faith."
It relates also to what the Israelites did with the murmuring and grumbling. It's a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in that situation that you're just talking about, and also with the Israelites in the wilderness, they had all the evidence they needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so do we. And often we forget to remember the evidence we have.
I think that's when worry becomes sin. You're all going to worry about things. There are things that come up in daily life, things that are on your mind that you're going to worry about. When does it become sin? When it evidences a lack of faith. Yes, no, maybe.
Or when you just keep on worrying about it, it becomes sin.
Yeah, if your faith becomes weakened, that opens the door for a whole bunch of other things. Okay. Now let's move along. We may be done here before we usually are. Why is worry identified as a sin in the following scriptures? James 1. Laura, could you read James 1, 5 and 6?
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind.
Okay, what happens here if we don't have enough faith?
It leads to doubt, which leads to sin on the way.
You think it can be a prohibitive against prayer being answered? Yeah, if you don't ask with enough faith, you need to ask with confidence.
A hindrance to prayer being heard?
Heard.
Or just
yeah.
Our faith has to do with our relationship with Him. If we're not in the right relationship, we're going to hold it. He doesn't hear or answer.
Right. What about his passions in Luke 8?
Deanna,
mm-hmm.
I also put as an answer to the question, why is it a sin? It talks about because God is so liberal with his giving to us.
Mm-hmm.
We just asked,
right? We just asked. We're going to worry about it.
We still have to be right with Him.
Mm-hmm.
We just came past and we are in sin.
Right.
And then that's when we get to get angry, but you know, we just get what he's not hearing, what we can say. He's not hearing your prayer, he's not answering your prayer. Because
Maybe it's a situation where he's not hearing you, where he is hearing you, but the answer's no.
Yeah.
Or maybe your way or something.
Yeah, I mean, is he necessarily going to answer the way you want him to?
Yeah,
it's up to him.
Mm-hmm. And he may not even need you.
Yeah, he knows that better than
we do. He knows better than we do. What about Luke 8:14? It says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity.
Then we're focused on that instead of on serving God and our brethren, you know, then you tend to fall, well, this pastor puts it falling on the thorns, which I guess is the same as falling away, I don't know for sure, but that's the way I look at it. And, you know, if you replace what you're supposed to be doing, where your heart and soul, mind's focus is, with you worry about, you know, physical things. And usually things, y'all probably talked about this already, but things you need to be thinking about.
Right.
And we have the word, but we're really not living the word. We're coming, you know, to service, hearing the word, but we go out and we just, you know, it's like we're just one of the world, and we're not spreading the gospel. We're not telling no one, you know.
So worries can choke the word.
Worry that, you know, if we say anything about the gospel, they're not going to like us, or, you know,
right.
They don't want to be around us or whatever.
And worry brings no fruit to maturity. I put down.
We have all the help we need if we're faithful. Mm-hmm. And cast your cares on God because He cares. And then we have scriptures like Philippians 4:6.
What is that, Philippians?
4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So it's definitely a lack of faith, but we were anyway.
Right.
You know, we're just human beings.
Right.
We're the earth.
Well, that leads us to number 4. How do we stop it? If we go back in Matthew 6 that it's prohibited, do not do it. So we have all these things to worry about. How do we overcome it? Look at Matthew 6. Lauren, could you read 11 and 34?
Give us this day our daily bread. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
So what does this tell us to do to overcome it?
Pray.
Pray?
I put trust in the Lord, too, but then I put that somewhere else, so I didn't know if that's what you wanted here as well.
Anybody else have another idea?
Put, we have to take care of one day at a time.
That's what I put, live one day at a time.
This day.
Yeah. I've got enough to worry about today. I don't need to worry about tomorrow or next week or next year. What's going to happen?
But we're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow's
good
not
point.
Promised.
We're not guaranteed that at all.
So if we wake up and we get tomorrow, then we do what we need to do.
I think that's a great point. Like one day at a time.
One day at a time. So it's really easy to do, isn't it?
I like that song. One day at a time. Mm-hmm. I like that song.
I tell Rod Himes I was going to be the object lesson for this class. When I grew up in a Lutheran church, and the pastor would come to the front of the church and get down on the steps with all the little kids, some part at the beginning of church, and they'd have an object lesson. Well, I was going to be the object lesson for today. I was going to get up here and say, don't worry, you're not supposed to worry, worry is prohibited, worry is a sin, worry chokes the word. Guess what I've been doing about this lesson? Worry, 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 worry. So, take one day at a time. Today is what I'm going to take from this lesson today. Not worry about anything else for tomorrow.
Is
Okay, what about this next group? Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 26:3. Candace, could you read that?
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee.
Okay, of course we've already read Matthew 6 several times. But the thought in verse 30 is pretty much the same as what is in this one. What did someone put for thee?
Just trust, you know.
Trust. Develop faith and trust in God and His promises. I mean, He's promised to take care of us.
Keep your thoughts on Him.
Keep your thoughts on Him. If it doesn't come in a pill, you have to work at it. Now, the next one, Pat told me everybody was going to have a problem with. Number C. Let's read these all and then answer the question. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And 13 says, "And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." And by this point, you think I've lost my mind until you get to Genesis 2, and then you really question me. Genesis 2:15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Revelation 22, three. "There shall be no more..." No, I'm in the wrong. Oh, yeah. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." What was I getting at there? Does anybody have a clue? What can we do to help overcome worry?
Get busy.
Get busy. Work. Engage in purposeful work.
I put work and then occupying mind and hand.
Exactly. Even in the very beginning, had God provided absolutely everything that Adam and Eve needed? Of course. Mm-hmm. But he gave them a job anyway. Engage in purposeful work. What kinds of things can you do? Purposeful work to get your mind off of worry. If you're worried about yourself, I remember when, what was his name? Jason Swan was in Houston. That was the best way to solve your own problems, or at least to forget about them for a while, is to go down there and sit with him. Oh, he was a young man. He had a terrible accident, had a concussion, and well, yeah, but wasn't that what caused the head injury? He was in a coma for a long time, and it snapped his spinal cord. He's a quadriplegic, and I think he's pretty much in the same state now that he was then. I don't think he ever got any better.
Go see an elderly, mm-hmm. you know, person and see what you can do for them.
Do something. Make a meal. Take it to somebody. Mow somebody's grass. Clean somebody's house.
You know,
go to the doctor with them.
I'll put that on the next one. But in this one, you know what? I don't know about y'all, but I don't ever get everything done in my home that needs to be done. It's just much easier to sit down and read a book or something else. So if we just take care of what we need to be taken care of, we should be busy all the time.
I think about how much time do I spend on the phone worrying about this and talking to somebody about that. Mm-hmm. And if I put the phone down, perhaps the tornado would leave my house and it wouldn't look like it does. That's a good point. Doesn't have to be serving. It could be taking care of your own business that you haven't taken care of.
Well, I think that's the focus of these verses we read. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's maybe the last one. You know, maybe he has got some others. But I mean, and I'm not denying that we should serve others. I mm-hmm. think that's obviously true. But you got kids. Take care of kids. Iron your clothes.
Exactly.
Cook dinner. You know, we are all. It's just too easy to go out to eat or pick up something, and you know we save a lot of money too. Help our financial worries if we.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I spend a lot of time. I don't know about y'all. I get all of these calls wanting money. They don't know me.
Put that phone down.
On the no call list.
and I have to go. I have to answer the phone. To let it ring off and let them step up, but yeah. I had to get out of that. I'm afraid it's some my children or something. But so last night I got one. It was kind of late, and I rushed in there, get the phone before it went on the recording, and I forget what they were asking for money for. Said, "Could you help so much?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, thank you very much." I just said like that, "No." I get almost angry. I do get angry to having to answer. Mm-hmm. Now, I've stopped my mail. I always got a bunch of mail. But even though you stop all these advertisements and mm-hmm. things and things like that, but after... I don't know how long that lasts when you have it. The post office has stopped that type of mail, but eventually it starts coming back.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
Stop that kind of solicitation.
Post office and give you the number.
Another thing, maybe we can go, you know, instead of sitting around wearing, just get up and go walking. Mm-hmm. Just walk, you know, it helps me. I try not to worry about too much, but I go walking and I come back.
Well, we all have a job to do. You know, I don't think any of us get up and go into an employer every day, but you have a job. It's a full-time job. Spend your time doing it. Don't worry about things that you can't control that are in the Lord's department. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11. Actually, I'm putting Corinthians on the wrong side of Galatians in my mind this morning. I actually want to read verses 23 to 28. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. Kim, would you mind reading that?
Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I'm more so, and far more labors, and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, and danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches.
Okay. Does Paul have more than his share of worries? But what's the focus of that? What is his big worry there at the end?
His
deep concern for the churches, for his brethren. You know, I don't think any of us have the problems that he has. But he's transferred his care to more worthy objects. What's he going to concern his mind with? Something that's more worth his time to worry about. Yeah. The spiritual things. Anybody else have something else?
But he had more than just these things. He had that thorn in the flesh.
Oh, yeah.
He always had to deal with And God gave that to him, I guess, for a reason.
Maybe
to keep him in check or something.
If we, you know, we touched on this a little bit on the last one as far as serving others and doing things for others, but if we can remember that no matter how bad our situation is, there's always somebody that has it worse, and, you know, focus on trying to alleviate maybe someone else's worries than our own.
That yours become less important to,
that's right.
And whether you solve them or not, they become less important.
And sometimes an outsider can help somebody with their worries. You know, if it's just sitting and talking to them or helping them financially or running errands for them or something like that.
Just have somebody else to talk to, just fresh ideas and a new outlook on something. Okay. What about these next two? Acts 24. Elizabeth, could you read 15 and 16?
Yes. Having a hope in God, cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men.
What can this do to help us overcome worry?
We need to have a good conscience.
Yeah. If you live free from a sense of guilt and shame, you have a whole lot less to worry about.
You know, that could be consuming.
That could be what?
Time consuming. You know, we were talking a while ago about occupying our minds with something else. If we're focused on studying or meditating on God's Word, you know, in order to keep ourselves spiritually pure, that's going to nudge worry out. I mean, there's no room for worry if your mind's occupied with that.
That's right. That's exactly right. Maybe you aren't able to get out and go do something physical. For a health reason. Well, there are plenty of things you can do with your mind besides sit around and worry. Things that are much more worthwhile. Anybody have anything different? Okay. 1 John 3 basically says, let's look at it anyway. Justin, you want to read verses 20 and 21?
For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God.
That's basically the same thing. I meant to read that before we answered it, but I didn't. But just, you know, how you live your life. You know, that if you're going to worry about something, your soul ought to be the main thing you worry about. Is it right or is it not? And if you live in such a way to keep yourself in check, then you should have less to worry about. Okay.
And our heart condemning us is the same thing as our conscience excusing and accusing us.
Right. Because your conscience has to be right. Okay, Psalm 55. Verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What do these verses say that can help us overcome worry?
Take your burdens to the Lord and
leave them there. That's right. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Don't waver. Don't say, you know. But don't pray without faith, you know.
That doesn't mean you're not supposed to do your part too, of course, like we said earlier. But he can fix your worries a lot better than you can.
And he knows what we're going through. He knows. He just wants us to talk to him,
right.
Tell him. Talk
right.
To him. That's why I say go in your closet, shut the door, just cry, or do what, get it out. may make you feel better, you know.
I really like the Psalms passage there. It just was very comforting to me. You know, he shall sustain you and he shall not permit, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burdens on the Lord. That just sounded very comforting. If I could remember that more often rather than worrying myself into a snit or trying to fix it, trying to fix whatever the problem is. Well, did you have any other verses that you thought of when you were doing this lesson that were on point?
When we ask in doubt, James says we shall receive nothing. When you think about those old men like Daniel, been from the last year, he didn't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And the people that the disciples who first started preaching it get beaten, put in prison, get out, go right back to what they were. Mm-hmm. Just thankful that they had could still do it.
Right. That's right. Well, that's all I had. We're only 2 minutes early. That's not bad at all.
Did you hear from Dawn?
Dylan said.
Yeah, she had to pick him up. She had to the doctor's.
Laura told me that.